I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. Today, we're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 1 with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, phase two of the spider run, I guess. Well, I guess there's only really 2.5 phases of this thing. No, three. They're technically three. We're just not watching the first Homecoming.
Tom Holland's movies because we have episodes on those already.
Okay, cool. So right train of thought, poor word choice. Anyways.
All right. Just a disclaimer, if you hear any little puppy noises, it's because I'm dog sitting my sister's dog and he's in the room with me.
We're absolutely not going to kick him out.
No, his name is Archie. He's adorable. Anyway, I've been so super excited to get to these movies because I love Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
As we've been getting into this, I was really looking forward to it, and this did not disappoint. Anyways,
I'm so glad.
Here we go. So, The Amazing Spider-Man came out in 2012, directed by Mark Webb. Writing credits, screenplay by James Vanderbilt, Alvin Sargent, Steve Kloves. Story by James Vanderbilt, based on the comics by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Starring Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker, Gemma Stone.
Emma.
I was looking at Gwen when I said Emma. Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. Rhys Ifans?
I don't know how to say his name. I think it's like Rhys.
I knew his face. I just don't think I've ever had to look at his name before. Rhys Ifans, I'm sorry, as the Lizard / Dr. Kirk Connors. Dennis Leary as Captain Stacy. Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben. Sally Field as Aunt May. And then so on and so forth.
Yeah. Real quick. I completely forgot that Martin Sheen was in this movie. I freaked out.
Yeah. I was amazed when I saw it was him.
I cannot believe that he was Uncle Ben. His face popped up and I was like, President Bartlett? Because I love the West Wing. And like... I freaked out. I freaked out. And it's, like, actually perfect casting.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved him as Uncle Ben.
Yeah, no, he's a great Uncle Ben. And I think it just, like, really threw me. I was like, I cannot believe that he is in this.
Oh, that's how I know this actor. He's Mycroft in Elementary.
Martin Sheen?
No, sorry, I'm still on Rhys Ifans.
Oh.
Rhys Ifans. He plays Mycroft.
Yeah, he is.
There we go.
I forgot about that, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is, like, actually, like, a weirdly stacked cast.
Yeah.
Because Sally Field is also, like...
Yeah, definitely a big name.
A big name as well. Like, I think she was, like, up for an Oscar the year after, or the year of this movie's release.
So I remember when this movie came out, I had no interest in it. Because it was in that weird phase of, like, reboots weren't as big of a thing yet. Like, right now I think we're in reboot fatigue, but this was the start of, like, doing them again. And I was like, there's already some perfectly good Spider-Mans. Why are we doing this? So I skipped these.
Yeah.
Why did you see them?
Why did I see them?
Yeah. Or did you feel the same way?
I didn't feel the same. I saw them in theaters.
Right.
I actually remember when I went to go see this movie, I was texting my friend, and at the time, she had changed her name in my phone to Cedric Diggory. And so she was texting me, like, if I wanted to go see a movie.
That sounds like 2012.
That was, like, such a thing that we did in high school. I don't know why. Like, changing each other's names in our phones to, like, some random, like, character or something.
Right.
I don't know why we did it. So we were texting about going to see the movie, and I had said to my mom, like, can I go see this movie later with Becca? And she was like, yeah, of course, because that was when we, like, needed rides to places, I think. What year did this come out?
2012.
Yeah, I definitely needed a ride.
I think that was sophomore year.
Yeah, and, wow, it's the same year as Avengers.
Nuts!
Yeah, and my sister had seen me texting Cedric. So, like, later, she was like, so how was the date? And I was like, what? And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, I saw you texting a boy named Cedric, and then you were talking to mom about going to see a movie with Becca. And I was like, yeah, the character, it's Cedric Diggory from Harry Potter. Like, Becca changed her name in my phone to that. Like, I just remember that so clearly that she thought that I was going on a secret date.
Yeah. That is a very sibling story as well. Of like, no, my friends and I are stupid. You didn't catch me in anything.
No, exactly. Exactly. But I don't know. I wanted to go see it because I really liked Spider-Man. I think, I think I've mentioned before that, like, the release of this movie slots perfectly, like, when we were in high school, so it was interesting to go, like, see it in theaters and, like, kind of relate to it, because we were, I was in high school when it came out, and the characters are in high school. I think, like, I was just super in the Marvel hype, and I was like, man, I'm really upset that this isn't gonna be in, like, the MCU, but I love Marvel, and I love Spider-Man, so, like, I wasn't gonna miss it. And partially, I was a little bit like, oh, like, why do we need another Spider-Man? But I was really excited to see it because there were so many, like, gift sets and stuff on it on Tumblr of people talking about how, like, how good Andrew Garfield is gonna be, because from the clips that we saw of him, like, this is a Spider-Man we haven't seen before. Like, he's actually joking around. Like, he's actually funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not making these weird, like, 50s dated references. Which was something we didn't talk about in Spider-Man 3. But, like, every time Peter was like, get us some shade. Or, like, saying something completely outdated was absolutely insane to me. So it was nice to be in this movie and, like, feel like they were talking like normal human beings.
That's very true. Yeah. They definitely felt more like teenagers in this one. And, like, I know that none of them are, obviously, they're well past their high school ages, but this was a little bit more believable than than Tobey Maguire.
I think at least Andrew has a younger face than Tobey. And I did see someone say that Tobey has a baby face recently, and I was like, that's just not true.
He has a baby face because it's round, but not baby face in that he's ageless.
He looks young. No. But at the very least, I think that Andrew and Emma pull off being high schoolers a little bit better. A little bit better. I also think, so the premise, obviously this is an origin story. It's it's Andrew Garfield's origin story of becoming Spider-Man. I like that they had done something slightly different from the original, which is kind of like roping in the parents and like what, I think it's Richard and Mary Parker, like his parents do. And they kind of gave this mystery, and I actually really liked that aspect of it because it, as much as, like, obviously Aunt May and Uncle Ben are Peter's parents because, like, they have raised him for most of his life.
Right.
I think that it was realistic and interesting to see how he still struggles with the loss of his parents. Because they died kind of suddenly and mysteriously in like, their eyes.
Right.
And it seems like they don't talk much about him from, like, how, or like, the parents at all, from, like, how it started, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it was an interesting aspect of this was kind of, like, a who am I?
Right.
Which is kind of, like, pushed down your throat at the end of the movie, now that I'm realizing it. Yeah. And that who am I is a reflection of the, like, who were my parents?
Right.
Who was my father?
What was he keeping from me was being a big thing. So I didn't realize, and this might not even have been canon when they wrote it, was this on purpose an AU situation? Because, like, they didn't have Mary Jane, they chose Gwen Stacy instead. So, his parents had this Oscorp past, and I didn't know if this was, like, a different comic line that they chose on purpose.
So I'm actually not 100% sure about the Oscorp connection. Archie. So I'm actually not sure about this Oscorp connection between, like, the parents, if that was a thing or not. maybe it was just kind of an easy thing
to
loop Peter into Dr. Connors, which, you know, valid.
Yeah, not mad at it.
But traditionally, actually, Peter's high school girlfriend is Gwen.
You've told me this before. Every time I talk about Spider-Man and we bring up Gwen, I keep forgetting where they met.
Yeah, so...
So MJ is supposed to be the, like, later in life?
MJ is supposed to be, like, the love of his life.
Oh, okay.
Endgame relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Gwen Stacy is typically his, like, first love, first girlfriend situation.
Oh, okay.
One of the most, like, historically horrible things that the MCU has done, and when I say horrible, I mean, like, the things that, like, when it happened, fans, like, revolted.
Oh.
Was the death of Gwen Stacy.
Right, right.
So I think that's part of why there are these two great loves of Peter's life, is that there is Gwen Stacy, and unfortunately that ends in tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of, I guess, make it up to fans, they created Mary Jane as a character for him to be his, like, ultimate love, his forever love. So, and in a world of comics where retconning is the norm, you would think that they could retcon this one death, but they never really have, other than in... creating Spider-Gwen.
Right.
But this is...
She's a split-paired universe.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen is in another universe separate from our Peter Parker, and in that universe, Peter Parker's the one who dies. And there have been, like, crossover events where the two of them, like, see each other as Spider-People, and they're like, oh my god, like, I couldn't save you.
Right, right.
Which... is one of the Spider-Man, like, comics... I don't know if it's technically a Spider-Man comic or technically a Spider-Gwen comic, but it's one of the ones that I actually do want to read because I think that that's, like, a very cool, interesting dynamic. And it's just, like, the kind of thing that's full of angst that I love. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, yeah. I cut you off in the middle of the summary. I think we didn't make it much past the parents.
We didn't. They bring in the parents. There's more of that backstory. And through Peter searching for his parents is what leads him to Oscorp and leads him to snooping around a little bit and finding a room full of radioactive spiders where he gets bit. And off the bat... Never mind. Let me finish the summary.
Okay.
And it also leads him to Dr. Kurt Connors, whose dad worked with while he worked at Oscorp. And Dr. Kurt Connors is an amputee who wants to regrow his limb. And wants to do this by cross breed genetics sciencey things, by, like, using animals to help mutate humans.
Right.
And ultimately Kurt Connors is the villain, but kind of a reluctant villain in that, like, he cares for Peter, but the science has kind of overwhelmed him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also a side story of Peter trying to find the guy who killed Uncle Ben. Because he feels responsible for doing that, for Uncle Ben dying in the first place. Which is, you know, par for the course.
Yep.
For a Spider-Man.
We know that storyline.
Yeah. Except in this case, Peter's not trying to get money to impress a girl. In this case. Which is out.
Bad place. Wrong time.
No, in this case, Peter has a huge fight with Uncle Ben because he forgot to pick up Aunt May and said that, like, well, you're not my dad, and ran out the house, and Uncle Ben went looking for him.
Right.
So, like, that's where Peter feels responsible in that respect, mm-hmm. and that, like, he didn't stop the guy from robbing the convenience store that he was just in.
Yeah,
because that was... the convenience store owner was being kind of a tool.
Yeah, for sure. I hate it. You, because we knew it was coming, I hated watching this entire thing unfold.
Yeah. It's like one of the things that, like, I am happy that Tom Holland Spider-Man's don't do it again. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
like at this point, Spider-Man movies are so, like, in the forefront, and, like, we've seen two times, twice, mm-hmm. having Uncle Ben die, that mm-hmm. we didn't need to see it again in Tom Holland's, but we're not talking about that one right now.
Yeah.
So, backing up, right off the bat, I think that this one is probably the best movie that actually, like, shows off New York.
Oh, really?
Because Peter's, like, actually taking the subway. Mm-hmm, you see him walking around in Queens. You see him, like, doing things New Yorkers would do. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I think there's a level of, like, New York that's in mm-hmm. this that feels a little better. Because, you know, I think we saw... in the original trilogy, we saw them take taxis, like, a lot.
Yeah. Or on bike.
It didn't... Well, the bike made sense.
Yeah.
But, like, Mary Jane getting into a taxi often confused me. Because I was like, if you're a struggling actor, why are you taking a taxi?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't get it. So I liked that when Peter sneaks in with an intern group...
Mm-hmm.
To meet Kurt Connors.
Right.
He takes the subway home after he gets bit and, like, has a whole interaction with, like, when that's, like, he's, you know, starting to get his powers. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was the, like, that's awakening. Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And puts himself in a situation. And, like, I just liked that it was on the subway.
Yeah.
Like, that there were these moments of, like, it felt real. Like, mm-hmm. that he was actually living in the city that wasn't just, like, dropped in the middle of Times Square or dropped in the middle of, like, there.
Right.
It was New York without, like, showing us, like, New York of, like, tourism.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think that's what I really like about this one. Mm-hmm. I also really like that in this one, you see Peter be a hero before he even gets the powers.
That's true. Are you talking about the school fight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we start, he's in high school, for the duration of this film. We actually kind of have a good understanding of what length of time this movie mm-hmm. takes place in, which is brand new for us in a Spider-Man movie at this point.
Yeah.
In our rewatch. And he walks up and sees Flash, like, beating on a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Flash is like, or not Flash, Peter stands up to Flash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Knows that he is going to get his ass beat as well.
Yeah.
But is trying to divert the attention away from the kid to himself. And I think that that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're showing us why he would become a hero outside of revenge or...
Right.
Guilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he himself, even when he knows that there's no chance that he's going to win, he's still going to fight for the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Will...
Oh, it's like, that was a very important fight scene for his growth. I am surprised. I think I've counted two teachers this entire movie.
Mm.
And the fact that there were no adults even, like, mentioned of, like, someone gets call a teacher.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this fight, this high school is lawless. That was a huge crowd.
I think they're trying to, like, just be like, it's public school.
Things happen.
Yeah. So it's public school. That's just it's what it is.
But yeah, I did not like this fight scene, but I see what you mean. It showed his character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't something that we got from the original trilogy, And in this one, his love interest isn't just there. She's an active participant in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the guy... I can't believe we didn't bring this up in... All right, I didn't bring this up in the last three episodes about... If you can replace the female character with a dog, then you've done a bad job.
Right.
You couldn't replace Gwen with a dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because at a certain point, she is actively part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And assisting Peter and Spider-Man with, mm-hmm. like, the final battle. You know, like, she's mm-hmm. there and is part of the fight in her own way. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't replace that with a dog.
No, right.
Could she probably use some more work? Yeah. But yeah. at least it's a step up from what Mary Jane was in the original trilogy.
The damsel, yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't a damsel in distress. She was an active participant. And she... Actually, there's, like, ground to stand on to, like, why Gwen and Peter would be a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not dating the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's tutoring the bully, but she's not dating the bully.
Yeah.
And that's also the first time that we're like, Gwen is also heroic in her own right, is when she steps up to Flash
mm-hmm.
and, like, kind of puts him in his place.
Yeah, puts him in his place, talks him down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, I just think that the characterization of these characters are a lot better.
Yeah. They definitely felt more fully formed. They definitely felt more like high schoolers. Mm-hmm. I think that both Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield did a really good job of just, like, nerdy high schoolers who don't know how to interact with their crush around each other.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Garfield did a really good job as the, like, nerdy, kind of angsty, swoony emo boy.
Yeah.
But he was really awkward around Gwen, and that was endearing.
Well,
and I also kind of forget, because at one point I was like, you never see them, like, get together, they just end up together, and I was thinking, like, that's actually kind of how high school relationships happened. There was just one day, and you're like, oh, those two are dating now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's also one of the things that people, one of the criticisms that people have of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man is that he's too cool.
I
like,
mean,
he takes pictures, he rides his skateboard, he... like, is kind of smooth when it comes to talking to Gwen, which is, like,
mm-hmm.
debatable. Like, he's more smooth after they've gotten together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're still, like, bumbling around each other before that.
Yeah, he's definitely still very awkward. He's not painfully the awkward the way Toby was. He wasn't, like, cringe awkward, which that had his own endearing charms, because that is, I think... Also, how I associate a lot of mm-hmm. Peter Parker, because that was my first impression. This is definitely kind of like YA spoony boy awkward.
Yeah, but it also feels like, I think there, to a certain extent, that Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, feels a little bit like the creepy, why don't they ever date the nice guy?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
nice guy TM kind of mm-hmm. character. Because of the way he's, like, obsessive around MJ.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew Garfield actually feels like he is a nice guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, and doesn't have to prove that he's a nice guy.
Right.
And isn't complaining, like, oh, why can't they ever be with me situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I hate the cops in this.
This was some pretty blatant copaganda. I mean, part of it was Gwen Stacy's dad.
Yeah, Gwen Stacy's dad is a police captain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about the dreaded dinner.
That was pretty rough. Big step, by the way, from, like, we're kind of hanging out and flirting awkwardly as 16-year-olds to have dinner with my parents.
I also thought that, but, like, when you're 16, you ask your crush to your house. Like, I don't, like, what else are you supposed to do?
They had cell phones, you have AIM, you have the other chat, systems in 2012. I don't remember them.
I know that we had all of those things, but, like, did you not just, like, you invite... Maybe they don't have money to go out, so it's like, just come over my house for dinner and we can hang out, like, before and after dinner. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it made sense, but in the movie it was just like a smash cut to, like, here we go, meet the parents.
Yeah. It was a lot, and, like, to make him eat Brunzino, you know, first try is a lot. I think it was, like, a subtle, like, classism thing that I thought was a little interesting. Like, it was, like, mm-hmm. clearly, like, Gwen Stacy and her family are more well-off, and they have things like Brunzino, you know, that are, like, really kind of expensive and complicated to make. But Peter eats frozen macaroni and cheese, and which... Nothing to gawk at. I love a good Kraft mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like, meatloaf and, like, that kind of, you know, like, simple, homey foods.
Right,
not,
right.
Like, fancy fish.
Yeah.
Which, like, isn't even that great. But when Peter is, like, I don't understand what's the problem with Spider-Man, and, like, and Captain Stacy is, like, well... You know what strategy is, Peter? If I wanted the car thief off the streets, I would have had him off the streets. Like,
that's also not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. The
like that.
The rate of crime in New York City, like, come on, you can't.
That's you not also true. Can't tell me that, like, there really was some sort of investigation into some big, like, car thieving sting.
Yeah. Or, like, sure, like, one guy was your only lead for that whole thing. You weren't... Aren't car thieves, like, dime a dozen?
Yeah. Like, it was just one of those things that, it felt like when people were like, cops are useless. And then he was like, blah, 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 we're not useless. Like...
Yeah.
It was, like, that conversation was happening, mm-hmm. And it was, like, super condescending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, so condescending, and I wanted to punch Captain Stacy in the face.
Yeah. I am all for the our heroes vigilantes conversation. I think that's super interesting. Like, we can do that. Not with the captain of the NYPD.
Yeah. And I think the other issue is, right, is that as much as it is, like, There is a certain level of propaganda because the way the movie frames the police is, like, they are helping.
And also, Captain Stacy came in clutch in the final fight.
He did come in very clutch in the final fight.
Mm-hmm.
Will not deny that. But at the same time, it's like Ron Weasley in the first Harry Potter movie when he's like, she needs to get her priorities checked. Because they are so focused on Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's showing them up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually focused on the giant lizard man.
Okay, we forgot about that part of the plot, too. In the plot summary, we got derailed again. We just need to cut to...
Yeah.
Dr. Connors experiments on himself.
Experimented on himself because he was, like, getting threatened to be fired for not having results because his whole back thing is that, like, he's supposed to be working on something to save Norman Osborn's life from a mysterious illness.
Right.
And we don't see Norman at all in this movie.
Yeah, just a name.
Yeah. And Peter actually, like, finds the formula in his dad's notes that would make it work and takes it to Kirk Connors and is like, I have the formula and we can work on this together, and they work on it together a little bit and they have something that works, but they haven't, like, tested it fully, and now like Norman Osborn's, like, assistant man is like, and now we need to test it on people. And he was like, are you kidding me? Like, we can't test it on people. Like,
we tested it on a single mouse.
Yeah. And so he was like, well, I bet we'll find a lot of willing volunteers at the VA hospital.
Just tell them it's a flu shot. And I was like, ooh.
So that's when Kurt Connors is like, I'm going to take it myself.
Mm-hmm,
and he takes it himself, and he becomes the scaly lizard man.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's, like, his becoming the villain moment. And, like, I... he's not as engaging as a villain as I would like. Because I feel bad for him, and he, but like, he is dangerous. And I also think, again, his motives are steeped in ableism.
Yeah, it, like, you follow him up to a point, and you understand his backstory up to a point. The one he lost me was when he wanted to infect the entire city.
Yeah.
So, like, I get... do they say how he lost his arm?
No, they don't say how he lost his arm. He just doesn't have... Maybe he was born that way, I don't know.
Okay.
But he doesn't have an arm. He wants to regrow it like lizards do, and that's why he focuses primarily on reptiles. And so when he injects himself with the lizard DNA, he becomes Lizard Man, right. Which is not the villain name. I just don't remember.
Yeah. So again, you're with him up to a certain point, like, you empathize. It is, you know, based in ableism, but you're like, okay, like, I guess it works for this character. And then it just kind of kept going. You're like, you lost me now.
But it's that thing again where when scientists go too far, they corrupt themselves, and like the science itself corrupts them. And I know that it's a superhero movie, and I know that these are like, it's a trope in superhero like stuff, but it's like, why does accidental Peter Parker not have any side effects to his mental ability?
Right.
But like, when Kurt Connors tries to do it in a controlled environment, or even when Norman Osborn tries to do it in a controlled environment, it just goes completely haywire.
Yeah, Peter's DNA. Oh, okay, I was going to say, Peter's DNA is just special like that. Speaking of, something else that I didn't realize in this movie, and this is what I was trying to text you about, he doesn't produce his own silk. He has to make own.
You meant like the webbing.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I texted that to Sabrina, and she was like, I don't remember that detail of the movie. So that was something about this Spider-Man I was surprised by, is because I thought they could always do that. But he had to make his own little gadgets.
So actually, because Tom Holland can't make it either. He doesn't naturally make webbing. He created his own webbing.
Oh, for some reason, I thought Holland had some, but he couldn't, like, it. He didn't have infinite amounts, so he made his own. No. I'll go back and watch. I don't remember. Okay.
It's actually him making the webbing is actually, like, the norm.
Oh.
I think the only time Spider-Man produces it on his own body is in like the Ultimate Universe of the MCU, and not like traditionally. So usually, like, Spider-Man makes his own webbing, and that's actually something that I really also enjoyed about this movie. Was the first Tobey Maguire's trilogy just kind of was like, yes, he is smart, just believe that and move on.
Right. He has one or two lines where he, like, shines in class, and there we go.
Yeah. Every step of the way, you know that this Spider-Man, this Peter Parker, is a genius. Because he has his little, like, locking mechanism on his door. He is, like, pouring through all of this stuff from his dad's work, and he seems to understand it. Like, even just the line from Ben saying, I haven't been able to help you with your homework since you were 10 years old. Like, there was just so much groundwork being laid in, like, not super overt ways to show us, like, yes, he's smart. Yes, he's a genius. And we need you to know that.
Right.
And I think that that is one of the greatest parts of these movies, is that we see him have his little, like, breakthroughs when he's making the webbing, and have his own thought processes, and he's, like, doing that work. And I think that I love that. I love that, because it makes it kind of more believable that he's got this analytical mind
Yeah.
Even before he gets bit. Again, right. They've set up, because they took some time to show us who Peter Parker was before he gets bit.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the original trilogy, which it happens in, like, the first scene, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or first or second scene or whatever. They took the time to present Peter Parker as a character before he gets powers. So we know who he is as a person before he has his powers.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what amount of it is himself as a person and what amount mm-hmm. of it is, like, superpowered.
Yeah.
Because for all we know, right, is that Peter Parker in the original trilogy is, like, he was probably, maybe he was dumb as a brick. And then he got bit.
And now he's smart, yeah.
And now he's smart. Like, maybe that is part of it. And, like, how would we know? Because right. we didn't know. I mean, like, he did make, like, little goofy fun facts. But, like, everyone has fun facts about something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, again, like, how would we know? How would we know?
Yeah. I will. That was something that struck me as I was watching and I was going, I was like, wow, it takes a really long time for him to become Spider-Man in this movie. And I wasn't mad. I wasn't against it. But I was, especially after just coming off the Tobys and even Tom Holland's, I was like, they really build up Peter Parker first. And a lot of the second half is establishing how he crafts Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think that that is helpful to the story because mm-hmm. it makes us want to care about the characters and not just be like, you should care because he's Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's not relying on you knowing the character before coming in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we're going to lay down the groundwork for you. We're going to show you who he is as a person. We're going to show you, like, we're going to show you his personality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that because it does make you want to fall in love with Peter as a character even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why someone like Gwen Stacy would fall in love with him.
Yeah.
I think is also an important part of this.
Yeah. I do wish he had a single friend.
Yeah.
He was pretty loner in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Not that Harry was a great friend as a basis, but I do wish he had a single friend.
I mean, I think that it works, and I think having a friend would probably just bog the script down too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was very tight.
They're giving it kind of Gwen moving. That space.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Gwen is his go-to in this movie. They've built that relationship up in a pretty natural way. And he is also presented as the outcast, probably mm-hmm. because he's the only one who will stand up to Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And people are scared of him, Flash, the character.
Right.
And speaking of Flash, I love what they do with his character.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to have his own little growth arc or growth moments.
So Flash has actually always been a character who has started as bully
mm-hmm.
and grown into close personal friend of Peter Parker.
Oh, wow.
To my knowledge, in the comics, is that, like, he does have that growth and mm-hmm. that potential mm-hmm. for growth. And that's why people like Flash in this movie, because when he sees Peter struggling with the death of Uncle Ben...
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was him actually, like, coming over and being like, Parker, like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But...
Which I did not expect, because, like, this kid just humiliated you, you've been bullying him. I didn't expect for Flash to take that first step and check on Peter.
Yeah.
Which, it was nice. It was a surprise.
I like...
And the way Peter reacted was also very, I think... expected when mm-hmm. you know when this guy who's been tormenting yeah. each other approaches you
yeah.
So I liked that scene a lot.
Well, it adds more depth to Flash.
Mm-hmm.
It adds more character to him because mm-hmm. it kind of, listen, bullying is always terrible and being violent with students is always terrible. Mm-hmm. And I'm not typically a fan of, like, well, bullies just have, like, a secret, terrible life, and that's why, blah, 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 you know? Right. But that the way that they do it in just this one quick line of, it feels better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking out that aggression feels right. better, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It adds, like, a layer to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I think this dynamic doesn't typically have.
Yeah, for sure.
And I really appreciate that in Flash. Mm-hmm. So I it was one of the things that I also really, where you're like, oh wow, oh my god.
Yeah.
And it's a good moment. I think that this movie is just littered with good moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't have the time to talk about all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie was definitely very tight, and, like, it kept going, and, like, it made sense as we were talking. And then I feel like we should spend the last 15, because you've mentioned it in every, pretty much every Spider episode we've done in the past, the crane scene.
This is one of your favorite crane scenes. Okay, to discuss the crane scene, we must backtrack to the moment Peter becomes Spider-Man.
Yes.
And the moment Peter becomes Spider-Man is when Scaly Lizard Man, I know it's not his name, I know I've said it before, is on the bridge and mm-hmm. trying to find Norman Osborn's assistant.
Right.
And all of these cars end up hanging across out from the bridge that Peter has caught.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit like, why? But I guess maybe there were people in it? Whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one guy is screaming for his kid because his kid is in the car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is the moment that Peter becomes Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Because this is the moment where he's like, I have to save people with these mm-hmm. powers. I can't just fight bad guys. I have to save people.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the car, and he finds the kid, and he helps the kid out. And I know that
he does a great job with this kid.
Exactly.
I loved that.
I know that I've raged before about him taking off a mask. But if he's going to do it, this is a perfect place to do it, because like mm-hmm, nobody mm-hmm. knows who Spider-Man is at this point,
right?
And this is a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing that to like make the child feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I'm just a guy, I'm just like you.
Yeah. And when it adds that like tension of like, oh my god, the car's on fire.
I know, the car caught on fire, and I was like, are you kidding me?
And the kid has the mask, and that moment where he's like, put the mask on, kid, it's gonna mm-hmm. make you feel braver, it's gonna make you feel stronger, and yeah. like
it's gonna give you powers.
Truly, this is the moment. This yeah. is the moment. The hero maker moment of the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we literally just watched the other Spider-Man movies, and I cannot tell you what that moment is for Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't.
No.
Because he just puts the thing on. He goes, So I think that this scene is perfect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, we're at the end of the movie,
right? He has to get downtown real fast.
He's been shot in the thigh by one of Captain
New York's finest.
Yep. After he says ceasefire, he says don't shoot, and some dummy shoots him in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after Captain Stacy has unmasked Peter. And mm-hmm. Peter has, like, I also love this moment of him, like, eyes open.
Yeah.
Realizing what's about to happen and just going ham. Love that moment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment of, like, recognition between the two of them. He's like, I'm going to go save your daughter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, you have to let me go.
Yeah. And so then we get, like, a scene where we're cut into people watching the news and seeing what's happening, and the guys on the news are like, Spider-Man looks hurt. We don't think he's going to make it to Oscorp. What's going to happen?
Right.
And the guy whose son he saved is, you know, blue-collar construction dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he gets everybody on the horn and says, get to your stations, get on your cranes,
mm-hmm.
and let's straight shoot, give Spider-Man like a straight shot to mm-hmm. Oscorp.
Right, right.
And it's just such a great scene because you can feel the like togetherness
mm-hmm.
that New York has in a crisis.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
neither of us are New Yorkers, yeah. but I think we've all seen the scene, like, not the scenes, the news articles, the TikToks, the videos of how when New York is in a crisis, the people come together and help each other out.
Right, yeah.
Like when New York was flooding, mm-hmm. there were people who were going outside and clearing the, like, sewage grates so that the water would be able to go, mm-hmm, like, from mm-hmm. trash, so that the water would be able to actually, like, sink.
Right. New York will always take care of its own.
Yeah, New York will yeah. always take care of its own, like you said. And that was just the example happening here.
Mm-hmm.
New York took care of that guy's son, and that guy mm-hmm. is taking care of New York by helping Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... And, like, I know we don't like the cops in this movie. But even they, like, stop traffic to give him... Mm-hmm. the space to street swing space. Through.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's working together to make sure the person who needs to get the job done gets mm-hmm. the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I liked Peter's realization when he saw what was happening, and he... Because he can't hear any of this, but he can guess, and he saw what yeah. this meant for him. And he was like, okay. Okay, and he was, like, kind of hyping himself up, like, here we go. And then yeah. he took off.
Yeah, it's yeah. just this moment where he realizes how supported he is as the mm-hmm. city's hero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just this very great climactic moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That just brings that, like, joy to you. That, like,
right.
it feels good. It feels like your hero is being supported by not just you, the mm-hmm. audience, but, like, the people that he is trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love it. I love this scene, and I don't have much else to say other than, like, it just brings that, like, emotional weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds that connection of the relationship between New York and Spider-Man.
Right.
I also really quickly wanted to bring up, so I've been talking about one specific TikToker a lot, but I keep forgetting his name. I actually looked it up yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Zero Wolf. And it's Wolf with two mm-hmm. O's and then an E at the end. Mm-hmm. He did a video not too long ago talking about how Andrew Garfield is so good at doing American accents that people forget that he's not American. And, like, yeah. he is actually half American. I think his dad is American. And he mm-hmm. said that that's probably why he's able to slip into it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that... Often, people whose natural accent is, like, British accent, and they're doing an American, when they get into a very, like, emotional scene, the British kind of slips out. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen with Andrew, because he's not doing just one American accent. He's doing two.
Right.
Which is not something that I've noticed. Like,
it's not a stereotypical New Yorker accent, but he has one.
Well, he's doing the plain, like, plain English, like... plain mm-hmm. American English accent, generic, blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. in those scenes where he is being a bit more emotional, he slips mm-hmm. into something that is more like a Queens accent. And the point that Zero Wolf was making was that when this happens, it kind of adds a level to the character where maybe Peter is trying to hide his roots so mm-hmm. that people don't think of him as, like, the kid from Queens in, like, a negative mm-hmm. way. Like, he has, like, right. an unintelligent Queens accent.
Mm.
But in those moments of, like, high emotional intensity, he slips back into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it, like, kind of adds to this level of, like, classism that's always gone hand in hand with Peter Parker mm-hmm. because he's usually, like, you know, poor.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so interesting. I really listened for it this time. I was a little mm-hmm. tipsy, but I listened for it and I was like, that is so right.
Oh,
like, you
cool.
can really yeah. tell that, like, he slips in between it, but only, like, very
mm-hmm.
What's the word I'm looking for? In a very in a very deliberate way.
Right, right.
It happens deliberately, and I really mm-hmm. enjoy that.
Yeah, good for Garfield. I didn't really have much of an opinion before this. I mean, you've told me things, so I was like, okay, Garfield sounds cool. I really liked him in this movie. And the few things I've heard about him as a person afterward, I'm like, okay, you seem chill. I just saw him in Tick, Tick, Boom. I saw 2 Andrew Garfield movies yesterday. But yeah, no, he seems cool.
He's great. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. I think that he does such a good job as Spider-Man. I think he mm-hmm. was so excited to be Spider-Man, and you can tell.
I'm sad I didn't know that, because that really sucks to be invested in a character who means so much culturally, and you're like, you're ready to take that on, mm-hmm. and then it gets taken away from you.
Yeah, it really does suck, and I will talk more about that happening next week when we talk about Spider-Man 2. But mm-hmm. anyway, this movie is amazing. I love it. It's one of my favorite, top Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people give it a lot more flack than it deserves.
I think that's a fair thing to say, that it got a bad rep just for its timing when it came out. I really enjoyed it as a first watch. I thought it was a top-tier Spider-Man. I thought it was a really good reboot. I enjoyed the way that, tech made sense in this one. I don't... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 2012. The cell phones and computers are more advanced than they were in 2000. But it was nice to see, the, normal teens and how, these are their lives a bit more,
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it just felt more relatable, I guess, because, I remembered those cell phones. I remembered that. I remembered 2012 because it was so long ago.
Well, that's the thing, is that, this is the Spider-Man that speaks most to our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally came out while we were in high school.
Yeah. We were supposed to, probably, if we were sophomores, we were the same age that Peter is supposed to be.
I think he's, a senior or junior. He's 17, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we're close enough.
We would have gone to high school enough. With Peter. We were in that same age range. We would have been going to school with him, in this theoretical universe if we went to his high school,
Yeah, yeah. But this was a really good reboot.
Yeah, and I think it's great. It's a great adaptation. They mm-hmm. really just brought more to all of the characters. Did something different enough that made people watch it and see a new character.
Mm-hmm. They changed enough, but they kept the core. And I think the more we've done the Spider-Run, the more I'm seeing that's what the MCU course corrected too hard.
Yeah.
They changed too much and lost the core.
Yeah. Also, Kevin Feige was a producer on this.
Oh, fascinating.
I saw that in the credits and I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
But anyway, love this movie. Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing because it is the Amazing Spider-Man. And I feel like there's so much more to talk about this movie, but we just don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be with you. Wait, we didn't talk about Captain Stacy dying.
No, we didn't, which I was surprised. I was surprised he died. I thought he was gonna make it.
Well, Captain Stacy dies, and the thing that's important about him dying is that he makes Peter promise to not see Gwen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, that is the thing. He listens.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's the man's dying wish.
Yeah.
He just saved his life.
Yeah.
And also, he doesn't want that for Gwen either. So he's in his teenage brain, he's this is the best thing for her. But I'm not going to tell her about it.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, oh my god, this is my least favorite trope of the I can't be with you because I don't want to hurt. I hate that trope.
I hate that trope when you don't tell her. Because then once you tell her, she can make her own decisions.
But she knows he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So she knows what she's getting into. Either way. And then the movie ends with him, going to going back to class and sitting mm-hmm. behind Gwen and being like, promises you can't keep are the best types of promises, though. And they have, like, a secretive smile. And it's like, okay, so I guess they're not broken up anymore. They're going to get back together after this.
I will say the porch scene when she goes and she's like, why weren't you there for me? Heartbreaking.
Peak.
Heartbreaking. And that was the scene when I was like, just tell her. And then I was kind of glad Gwen was, like, she knew her father well enough that she was, the last thing she said was like, he made you promise, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I was like, no!
I love that she figured it out.
Yeah. She knows that this isn't what he wants, but it's, like, it's coming from her dad and all these things. And he was at the funeral, for the record.
Yeah. Just Gwen didn't see him.
No one saw him. He was on the roof.
Yeah.
Right. He's so angsty.
He's such an angsty boy. And we love him for it, because that's what the lame loser kid would look like in 2012. Anyway, that's officially the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. And you can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com. And you can email us at EMFangirls@gmail.com. And also, I forgot to say last week, follow me on TikTok at SomeFangirl.
Have you gotten noticeable TikTok followers from here?
No.
Cool. I was just wondering. Thanks, dude. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland. And thanks to us for editing and producing.